This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. I'm a dental division director at the CPA firm of Ide Bailey. I am broadcasting from our world broadcast studios here in South Orange County, California. And I am excited about my topic today. I have a really good friend who I'm going to be speaking with, and his name is Kevin Henry. And I'm guessing that many of you have either heard him on his podcast or have seen him speaking across the country. And we're going to cover a topic that I have not covered in 6.5 years on this journey with all of you. So I've been a dental CPA for 41 years. And every time I talk to a dentist about their practice, and I talk to a dental coach or a consultant about our client and their practice, I'm always hearing, all right, we got to increase the production. We got to work with the doctor on his verbal skills. We got to work with the doctor on his communication and leadership skills. We got to add procedures. We got to work on the hygiene department. We got to work on getting more production in the 4,000 codes. But you know what? I never, ever, and I swear to you, in 41 years, I've never heard this. I never hear anyone saying to me, you know what? We really need to strengthen our dental assisting team. Our dental assistants, I don't know if they're doing a great job, and I don't know how they can help the practice. Well, Kevin Henry is the founder of a company called Dental Assistant Nation. And Kevin lectures all over the country about how you as a dentist can empower your dental assistants and how they can help to grow and improve the quality and profit of your practice. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We'll get to Kevin in a moment. I first want to thank my wonderful, wonderful partners, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. They have 140 continuing education courses for a very incredible price. And you can connect to my podcast from there. They have the top clinical articles in the country. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. Right now, we're in the summer here. We're recording this podcast on July the 9th. It's going to come out in a couple of weeks. And I'm sure everybody is aware that on Independence Day, July 4th, President Trump signed the Big Beautiful Bill Act, H.R. 1. It is an 880-page bill with all kinds of things, including a ton of tax changes, many of which are going to affect dentists. So I wanted to let you know that we're going to be doing a podcast very shortly on the new bill. We are also going to be doing a webinar probably late August, early September on the new bill. We'll get you a date on that. And if you have any questions about anything you've read about the new bill, they've boned up the section, the bonus depreciation again. They've reinstated all of the Tax Cuts and Job Act provisions that were set to expire this year. There's new rules on tips and overtime and lots of good things for dentists. I can tell you that the American Dental Association and the CDA and the other components really advocated with a lot of the other healthcare groups, like the American Medical Association, to get provisions taken out of these bills that hurt dentists. And we'll talk about that in our podcast. Now, we are also going to be doing the second of our fourth Business of Dentistry series for our local dental societies here in Southern California. So mark down the date, Wednesday evening, August 6th, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. You will be eligible to receive one CEU core continuing education unit. And we have two great, I'm going to moderate it, and we have two great speakers. The first one is Dr. Christina Doe. She was the president of the Orange County Dental Society, and she is going to be speaking on Elevate Patient Care with Cutting-Edge Dental Technology, A Journey to Productive Appointments. And then my good friend Holly Perez from Direct Dental, who helps doctors find, retain, and keep employees, which is a big deal today in dentistry, as well as how to place an ad, where to place an ad, and who to place the ad with. She's going to be speaking on hiring smarter, strategies for attracting and keeping the best dental talent. Please call me at 657-279-3243 or email me at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at idebailey.com. And we'll get you the QR code and we'll get you signed up for the seminar. It's going to be great. And we got two more coming up later in the year, one of which will be year-end tax planning like we did last year. And again, if you are looking for a dental CPA, you got a big surprise from your CPA that you didn't like at the end of April or the middle of April. We get more clients from people who call me up and say, hey, I got a call from my CPA on April 14th that I owe $70,000. Well, that does not happen on my watch, in our watch. Give me a call, 657-279-3243, awiederman@idebailey.com.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
All right, let's get to my guest and my good friend, Kevin Henry. So Kevin is the founder of Dental Assistant Nation. And Kevin has been in the publishing industry for 16 years. And let me tell you a little bit about Kevin. Kevin speaks to dental audiences around the world on topics that empower dental assistants, helping them recognize the leadership role they hold in the practice. Kevin's the former group editorial director for Dental Practice Dental Products Reports and managing editor for Dental Economics. He is currently the editor-in-chief for Dr. Bicuspid. He's spoken to dental assistants throughout the world in person and through the Dental Assistant Nation podcast series, which he'll tell you a little bit about, reminding them of the important role they play every day in the practice. And he's also a certified DISC trainer, helping dental practices learn how to understand each other better through personality assessments and training. And the other thing that we're going to talk about, which may take up the whole podcast, is the fact that Kevin in his former life was a public relations director for the NAIA, which is a national small college sports organization. And he currently is a beat writer for the Colorado Rockies and the Denver Nuggets. So he and I are sports crazed. And Kevin, so do we really have to talk about dental assistants today? Can't we just talk about like Jokic and what we can do to make the Rockies win more than 40 games?
Well, you know, the Rockies need all the attention they can get right now. So if we need to devote an hour, I think we could devote a lifetime trying to fix the Rockies. But I'll talk baseball with you anytime, my friend. No worries at all there.
So we'll talk a little bit about, I mean, talk about your professional journey and how you went from being in baseball to getting involved with dentistry. And by the way, if I may mention, I didn't ask your permission, but I don't think you mind. Kevin's lovely wife's name is Dana Johnson. And if you don't know Dana, you need to know Dana. Dana has been a guest on this podcast. Dana is one of the most wonderful humans that I know. And by the way, I'm going to be giving a pitch right now. If you have Dentrix and you need help on Dentrix, you call Dana. She is the national expert on Dentrix. Did I speak out of turn?
You did not, and I appreciate that because she is my better nine-tenths, as we like to say.
Well, sure. I have never seen Kevin or Dana with anything but a big smile on their face. So talk to me, Kevin, about baseball to dentistry. How did that work?
Yeah, I did not plan to be in this field. You know, this was not something I dreamed about growing up or anything else. As you mentioned, I was with the NAIA, which is the small college version of NCAA. Sure. And their home base was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I'm born and raised. I currently live north of Denver, but I'm an Okie at heart. And we had a change that I did not see coming. The boss walked into my room as the PR director for the NAI and said, you know what, if we're going to grow the NAI and its visibility, we're going to have to move to a major sports market. And that is going to be Kansas City. Now, the NAI was founded in Kansas City, and they decided to go back there after 7 years in Tulsa. And they offered me to move with them. But at the time, my daughter, my only child, was 8 months old. And I knew as the only grandchild that my parents would not be too kind with me if I decided to move her away to Kansas City. So I left my job. And honestly, I needed somewhere to work. And I am thankful to this day to Lyle Hoyt, who is the publisher of Dental Economics, and Mark Hartley, who is the editorial director for RDH Magazine. And they decided that Dental Economics needed a journalist to balance out Dr. Joe Blaze, who was the editor of Dental Economics at the time. And they brought me on board and taught me dentistry. And I thought, there's no way I'm staying in this field. This is going to be three, 4 month stops. And I remember going to a meeting. It was the fall CDA meeting. And I remember being in San Francisco, and somebody told me at that time, they said, you know, you're never going to leave this industry, right? And I kind of rolled my eyes. I was like, yeah, okay. Well, here I am 25 plus years later. And wow. It's been an amazing journey. And luckily, as you said, I still get to do baseball in the evenings after my doctor bicuspid days are over.
Oh, my God. That is so much fun. You and I are going to, I mean, my son, Forrest, played college baseball and would have been drafted, but decided that was not the way he wanted to go. And we better not get started because we'll keep going and going. I do want to get into our topic because you got a lot of great information. So like I mentioned in the opening, it seems like every time I talk to a dentist, they're talking about the hygiene department. They're talking about the doctor's production. Why do you think that nobody wants to talk about dental assistants in a dental practice?
I think that, you know, there's not, you can define a dentist production very easily. You can define a hygienist production very easily. There's a lot of states where you cannot define the assistant production with a firm number. And I think that that's one of the reasons, you know, you mentioned consultants and coaches and accountants even who go in, and dental assistants aren't brought up that often. And I think that's the big enigma out there is what do dental assistants actually provide to the bottom line of the practice. And I think that's a drum that I've been beating for years. I started Dental Assisting Digest when I was at Dental Economics back in 2004. So I've been really trying to dive into dental assistants and how they play in the dental practice and their important role, their vitally important role for 20 plus years. And to this day, as you just said, a lot of people don't understand what dental assistants really do to make a financial impact on the practice.
You know, Kevin, sometimes I feel like in the practice, the team and even the doctor, sometimes they don't get, the dental assistants don't get treated as much respect as maybe they should. What do you think about that?
Well, it goes back to what training did the dental assistant have before he or she walked into that practice? You know, dentists have to go to school. Dental hygienists have to go to school. In many states, dental assistants do not. Right. You know, the common misnomer whenever I first came into this industry, and I've heard this, I don't know how many times, is, oh, dental assistants can work at Taco Bell in the morning, and then we can pick them up, and they can work in our dental practice in the afternoon. And it's just a plug and play. And I think that's one of the biggest things that hurts dental assistants and their role as oral healthcare providers today, is that they are seen as disposable almost, that they are seen as not an important part of the practice because they don't have the training and the years of schooling and things like that to earn some kind of degree. Now, again, every state is different, you know, and you'll probably hear me say this two or three times because I think it's vitally important. Dental assistants in California can do different things than in Nevada or Arizona. I mean, go around the country. And I think that that's one thing that where we are lacking as far as dental assistants go is that there's not a across the nation bar that they have to hit in order to be a dental assistant in a dental practice and really be viewed as a dental professional. And of course, I believe they should be.
And I agree with you. So I know you and I have talked about that for a lot of reasons, some dental assistants are not motivated. And what does it do to hurt the practice if we don't have a motivated dental assistant?
I think if you look at how your practice is designed, oftentimes that dental assistant spends more time with the patients than anybody else in the practice. They are often the ones who are meeting them at the front to walk them to the back. They're walking them back up to the front. They're the ones who are, you know, making conversation until the dentist arrives. They're the ones that may have to explain something after the dentist leaves that maybe the patient doesn't understand. So I think if you're looking at the dental assistant as only that person who hands you the instruments, you're not seeing the full dental assistant and the impact. Because I have been in so many practices and I've heard from so many dental assistants where the dentist leaves the room and the patient turns to the dental assistant and says, do I really need this crown?
Oh, exactly. And yeah. That's a big deal. A big deal. And the dental assistant's answer to that question, I'm guessing 8 or 9 out of 10 times, is going to determine whether that patient goes through the treatment.
Bingo. And so you asked me at the start, how do we track production? I will tell you, I believe dental assistants are case closers. I absolutely believe that. Because if you have a trained dental assistant who is locked in, loves what he or she does, and can really talk the lingo that the patients will understand, so often whenever they say, do I really need this crown, you're absolutely right. How they answer is going to make that patient feel a lot better about his or her decision.
Oh, absolutely. So let's talk about if a doctor is looking for a new dental assistant, because again, we do have turnover in dentistry. I mean, statistics I've seen for many, many years is that the average dental employee works in a practice 18 to 24 months, give or take. So what when we're looking for a new dental assistant, Kevin, what are the questions that the dentist should ask a team member to see if that's a good fit? And then I also want to talk to you about hiring someone, like you mentioned, who has no dental experience. So let's start off with how do we interview the dental assistant to find out if they're a good fit?
Well, I think you have to figure out what kind of practice do you have? Do you have a practice that is very cosmetic focused? Is it restorative focused? What kind of practice do you have? And what kind of personality, dare I say, does the practice have? You know, I love to know, is this a very, you know, cut to the chase and let's get dentistry done and move on to the next patient? Or is this one that you all really take the time to focus on patient needs, more spa treatments, you know, things like that? Because that's who the person that you hire, they're going to have to fit into this environment. You're not going to get somebody who's very much a dental assistant who's ready to just turn over the room and move on to the next patient. If your practice really likes to dig in deep with what your patients love and what they love to talk about and listen to them a little bit, you know, so I think you've got to know what kind of practice you have. And then I also think that you've got to be asking the right questions to get how their communication skills are.
Right.
Now, I fully believe in my heart that you can train dental assistants in terms of instrument usage, in terms of what's legally allowed in your state. Those things can be taught. But attitude, communication skills, simple smile on the face, or even one that we can see behind the mask, those are things that can't be taught. And so I think you've got to find personality and then figure out the skill factor after that.
I mean, I ran a dental CPA firm for 33 years, Kevin, and I would always tell my team, we can teach skills, but I hire attitude. Absolutely. It's the same thing. What do you think about hiring someone who's never worked in a dental office before?
I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And you're seeing a lot more since COVID, and I know we don't like to say the C word, but right. Since COVID, you're seeing a lot more on-the-job trained dental assistants coming into this industry. And so that's certainly not a bad thing at all. But the only caution that I ever have with an on-the-job trained dental assistant is who's doing the training. How do you make sure it's the right training, especially when it comes to the infection control and prevention part of the practice?
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because I think that's really important. So I know, and we'll let you talk a little bit about what you do, but I know that you consult with dental offices on how to empower dental assistants. But talk to me about training. I know that not only in dentistry, but in every business, I'll bet you 80% of small businesses do not have an onboarding plan and right. do not do a good job. They say, oh, you've been a dental assistant. Oh, you know what to do. Go. I have first patients at 8:15, you know? So what kind of training do you have? Do you have like a training program you help doctors with? How does that work?
I do. I have a training program, and it's also something that, as you mentioned, it's mostly about getting them up to speed with dental lingo, getting them up to speed with communication skills, the soft skills, as we like to call them. I think that that's the most important thing. But one thing I always want to caution is that a lot of dentists will hire a new dental assistant and they'll say, hey, Mary, who's their established dental assistant, show her how to her the ropes.
Nope.
You know, no, and it doesn't work that way, because I will tell you, the more Marys that I talk to who are the established dental assistants who then get that put on their plate as well, it's a frustration for them. And so I think you've got to have something that is onboarding that you trust, whether that is from the Association for Dental Safety, ADS. You know, there's a lot of different groups out there that have smart packages in place to help bring dental assistants up to speed with clinical knowledge, infection control knowledge, and then let's make sure that those soft skills are brought up as well.
Well, and it's also important for the dental assistant to know what they can and they can't do in that state.
Bingo. You know,
they an EF2? Can they make temporaries? Can they pack cord? I mean, what can they do, you know?
Right. And I will tell you, that's one of the things that I bang the drum so loudly on, because so many dentists don't know right now what their dental assistants can legally do or not do in every state. And so I always encourage, whenever you're doing any kind of training or any kind of even year in review, it's a good chance to go look at your state's dental laws, because so often I will see dental assistants who could do 10 other things in the practice, but the dentist doesn't know that or doesn't want them to, because he or she doesn't feel confident in their skills. Yeah. And when we talk about what can they contribute to the bottom line of the practice, we need to make sure that they are as optimized as possible to do whatever is legally allowed in that state to impact the bottom line of the practice.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have some of my clients who are at the top of their game who say, I've got dental assistants who could be dentists. We don't let them be dentists, but they could be. They're that good. So now you understand, Kevin, that as being a CPA, I am required by law to talk numbers and profits and all that stuff, or they don't let me keep this podcast. I know that a dental assistant doesn't, quote, do production, although sometimes they do. Sometimes. How can a dental assistant help the bottom line?
Well, I think it is about knowing your state laws. I'm going to go back to that again, because, sure. You know, you mentioned about maybe they don't do production. I will tell you, states like Minnesota, states like Washington, they can absolutely do things that can be counted on as production. Right. Now, I'm an hour and 15 minutes from the Wyoming border here in Colorado. And I will tell you what those dental assistants in Wyoming can do versus here is night and day. They are very restricted in what they can do in Wyoming versus Colorado. So I think it is about, how do you maximize their pay? You make sure that they are trained and knowledgeable in every dental procedure where they can play a role. And you know what? That could be including taking x-rays. That could be including packing cord. That could be a lot of different things in a lot of different states. But it's up to the dentist really to know what he or she can pass off to that dental assistant. I'm a big believer, you know, going back to the money side, I'm a big believer that the dentist should be doing the most possible in the biggest amount of cases, right? I mean, let's do the highest production that they can possibly do and turn over the lower production things to the assistant if they can legally do that in their state.
And on top of that, Kevin, let's reiterate something else we talked about, is that assistant has got to have the confidence that their dentist is the best dentist on the planet. So when the patient says, well, you know, do you really think? Oh my gosh, Mrs. Smith, let me tell you something. If Dr. Henry says that you need that, he is the most ethical human I've ever met in my life. That's what's got to happen, right?
Absolutely.
And that's where you can grow production right there or lose it.
I always say that my dental assistants wear a number of different hats. They are a bartender a lot of times because dental patients will tell them things that they won't tell anybody else in the practice, but they have a sales hat as well. And I know we don't often like to talk about sales in dentistry, but you just nailed it. If that dental assistant glows about the work that Dr. Smith does, that patient is going to feel so much better about saying yes than otherwise.
Okay. I want to take a second. I want you to talk a little bit about your podcast. I want you to talk about Dental Assistant Nation. And folks, and I know when you hire a consultant, you think about someone who's going to work with the doctor, who's going to help them with their verbal skills, or who's going to help in the hygiene department. I mean, you know, one of my Peloton buddies is Rachel Wall from Inspired Hygiene. I know you know Rachel real well. Great. I love Rachel. I mean, she's the best. She's an amazing hygiene consultant. But in 41 years, I've never met a consultant who helps with dental assistants. So I want you to talk a little bit about what you do and your podcast.
Yeah, my podcast comes out every Monday. It's 15 to 20 minutes, and it is on a subject that I have been talking to a dental assistant somewhere in the country about. And I've heard that this is a hot topic that we need to be tackling. It can be on everything from infection control to communication skills to working with doctors better. You know, I will tell you, doctors, believe me when I say this, your dental assistants want to have a better relationship with you. They want to feel like your right hand. They want to be mind readers. And so I help them get those kind of communication skills to ask you the questions about how can we work more closely together? You know, one thing that I often encourage my dental assistants to do is to have at least twice a year, when you sit down with the doctor one-on-one and you say, what am I doing right? What am I doing better? And how can we improve on these things that you think I need to be doing better? And it's an actual game plan that you can say, by September 30th, we want this. By October 31st, we want this. And it's really something that you both work together to grow that dental assistant's career. And by investing in them, I promise you that investment comes back tenfold because you don't have to worry about that person leaving your practice because they don't feel like that they're wanted.
Well, I mean, you and going back to what the state requirements are, Kevin, and I have been an advocate for people getting involved in organized dentistry and joining their local and state societies. You call your state society here in California, it's CDA, and your state's Colorado Association. But the fact of the matter is they have resources. They can get you those answers. That's what you pay your dues for. So that's really, really important. I know that you use the word empower a lot.
I do.
Let's get into that for a second. How do we got the dental assistant, they're there, they don't feel respected, but they have a job to do. How do we empower them? How can we get our doctors to empower these dental assistants?
I think, first of all, we show them that they matter. And we talk to them as we started this podcast. We talk to them at the same level that we do the hygienists. We talk to them at the same level we do at the front desk. And we make sure that they understand the critical part of the equation that they are. That's the first thing about empowerment. You know, scientists tell us that emotionally, there are two things that each one of us need to survive. Number one is that we need to know that we're loved. And the second one is that we need to know that we matter. Yep. And dental assistants need to know that they matter. I will tell you, I have met so many dental assistants who introduce themselves to me as, I'm Mandy and I'm just the dental assistant in the practice.
Oh, no.
And I know right there. Yeah. I mean, right there, you know that that's a defeated dental assistant. And so we talk about, you know, what is it that you need? And sometimes it is just those moments whenever the doctor says, hey, you got this. Those moments whenever they know that the doctor's not micromanaging, that they are actually letting them run with the ball in certain areas. So when we talk about empowerment, it's really them understanding the important role they play and then be given the tools, the resources, and the confidence to be able to do that as well.
Talk about, Kevin, the importance of a dentist creating their expectations of the dental assistant on day one? They come in, it's a new employee. What do you want the doctor to say to the dental assistant?
I think the biggest thing is, I'm going to go back to, doctor, why does your practice exist? What is your mission statement? What is the thing that pulls all your employees together? And I know sometimes we roll our eyes about mission statements, but I will tell you, a lot of the practices that I work with, I have them recraft their mission statement and everybody sign off on it, almost like the Declaration of Independence. Because if you say we're going to use the best materials, if you say we're going to treat each other like family, if you say we're going to treat each other with respect, then you've got to live up to those things.
Yep.
And those are the things that I think you should be using in hiring as well, is that this is what our business stands for. This is why we exist. So when that dental assistant walks in on day one, they don't think that you've had a lobotomy somehow between the hiring process and actually the day-to-day operation.
Use some examples, Kevin, as far as we were talking about what dental assistants can do. I know in California, I think they can, depending on their training, they can do a little more. What are the questions that we need? I mean, what are some of the things that dental assistants can do in some states that maybe dentists don't know about?
Yeah, you know, and a real good example, Minnesota and Washington, those are two of the states where dental assistants are paid the most out of any part in the country. And I will tell you, I'll pull up some information on that if you don't mind, and give me just a second to do that.
My social calendar is wide open, Kevin. I'm here for you, buddy.
I'll give you some examples, because it is something that I really think a lot of times we've got to be going in and saying, hey, this is what you can do. And can we work with the local dental board, the local dental society? Can we work with a Shine, Patterson, Benko, whoever rep? You know, what kind of training is there in this area? And so, like, if I go to Minnesota and I'm clicking on this to find out.
That's all right. why we record this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but I do think that, you know, I mentioned earlier about packing cord. You know, there is a new provision in Arizona right now called the Oral Preventive Assistant. And I'm not sure if you've heard of that. It is something that the American Dental Association helped create. And it is actually for supragingival scaling by an assistant. So we are starting to get to that. And I will tell you, it's going to be very interesting to see how this progresses. But let's talk about that for just a second. Because with this supragingival scaling, the dental assistant gets, and I believe it's a 12-week course, to learn how to do that. And then they are allowed to legally do that under the supervision of a dentist or a hygienist.
Interesting.
So this is something that's being test run in Arizona right now. I've heard about it being thought about in Missouri. I've heard about it in other states as well. So I think if it goes well in Arizona, you're going to see this oral preventive assistant become a bigger part of what we do in dentistry. Now, the warning shot is a lot of hygiene communities are getting up in arms about, wait, they're only needing a few weeks to learn how to scale, where we went to school for a couple of years to learn how to do this. Yeah. So that's something that I'm really keeping an eye on with the OPA, is what is this going to do in Arizona? What states are going to come next? And what is the impact on the hygienist?
Right.
Plus, I will say this, a lot of dental assistants are asking me, with this, do they get paid more? You know, because again, you can track
production. Probably.
Exactly. You can track production now. So that goes back to that thing we talked about at the very start. So there's a number of things that dental assistants can absolutely do. And that's just an example of what we're trying to find out with the hygienist shortage out there. Can dental assistants do more? And I think you're going to start seeing that track that way over the next 3 to 5 years.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. But it's about getting the knowledge and checking with your state societies.
Absolutely.
And seeing what you can do. Okay. So we talked about that. I know that assistants get excited about getting into the digital workflow, Sarah, yes. Digital printing, scanning. I mean, I always tell the story, my audience has heard this, that the first intraoral camera came out, was shown in 1989 at the California Dental Association Convention. That was the first year I spoke at the CDA. It was $42,000, manufactured by Fuji, and it was probably the size of an operatory, of a dental treatment room. Now we know what a you know what that looks like. An intraoral camera is a little thing you hold in your fingers, and it's $2,000 to $4,000. So talk about getting the assistance. Again, part of the empowerment and excited. How do you like to see them involved in the practice's digital workflow?
I think they're key parts of that digital workflow because they're the ones that are often going to be explaining to the patient what's going on. And I think one of the things, biggest things that I'm seeing, let's talk about AI for just a minute in the dental
practice. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. And I will tell you, dental assistants are embracing AI in a big way because when Mrs. Jones asks about that crown, now look at all the things that they can show that back up Dr. Smith's claims about why that crown is needed. So a lot of times dental assistants are getting very excited about AI, but when it comes to CEREC, when it comes to your intraoral cameras, when it comes to 3D printing, all these different things that can happen in the practice, the dental assistant plays a critical role, not only in the production and actual happening of the digital technology, but again, the explanation of, hey, this is what your day is going to look like as a dental patient. This is what your appointment's going to look like. And really letting that patient know that not only is Dr. Smith a fantastic clinician, but he or she is also up to date with the latest gadgets and gizmos. And isn't that cool? You know, again, be a cheerleader. Not only do they love being tech savvy and learning new things, but they also love bragging about it a little bit to each patient too.
Oh no. And the patients love the technology. And I don't think a dental assistant, well, maybe you'll tell me differently, is going to sit down and design the crown on the CEREC machine. I don't know.
It depends on your state.
It depends on your state and stuff like that. But yeah, again, other than your state societies, what other resources are there that dentists and dental assistants can get more information about all this stuff?
Big one, huge, is the Dental Assisting National Board, DANB.org. If you go on there, what I was doing whenever you asked me a few minutes ago, they have a tab on there called Meet State Requirements, and all 50 states are on there, and you can click and find out very easily what you can and can't do in that state. That's something I always push to dental assistants as a way to make sure that they're being maximized in the practice so that they've got that information as well.
I mean, the whole key to this, doctors, is the fact it always, and I'm talking straight to you right now, Kevin, don't go away, please.
No.
Leadership. You are the leader of this practice. Okay. Everybody in your business has to be as important as everybody else. You can't say, well, you know, you're a hygienist and you're much higher than that. Not to diss hygienist or I'll get my head handed to me. But a dental assistant and a dental front office and a treatment coordinator and an associate, they all are equally important to the practice. They may not make as much money. They may not have as much training. But again, as far as what Kevin has talked about and how we can empower your employees, I love the verbal skill of sitting down with my employees and saying, how can I make you more successful? What tools would you like to see? What do you want your job to look like? Where do you want to go? If you talk to an employee, doctors, and remember, my podcast is a call to action, okay? If you talk to your employees and you let them know that you care about them and you want them to be successful and you want them to grow professionally, I mean, you win, right, Kevin?
No argument at all. And I know not every doctor is comfortable doing that, but I think there's a lot of different ways that you can show you care, that you want the best for this assistant, that you want to grow the practice with him or her. And whether that's through your words, whether that's through you actually having this vision plan and laying out, hey, we're at this goal right now. We want to get to this goal. And here's how you help us with that. There's a lot of different love languages, shall we say, to make sure that assistant understands his or her role.
So I'm wondering too, you know, we want to empower them. We want to make them better. But sometimes we have assistants that just are not cutting it.
Sure. Absolutely.
And can dental assistants be fixed? That's not a good thing to say. But can you take a dental assistant who's not performing and turn them into a performer? Have you done that in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it goes back to that talk that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that twice a year sit down, and it's almost a performance review, but it's really saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Do you see it the same way? And really getting that one-on-one, not dentist to dental assistant, but human to human, and talking about, if we're going to get better, this is what I need. How can we get you to that point? Now, I will tell you, I love dental assistants, but there are some bad apples out there, okay? There are some dental assistants that, as you said, aren't going to cut it. And in this day and age, dentists have to ask themselves, is it better to have an underperformer on the team, or is it better to have a staff shortage in the practice?
Right.
And that's really where you are. Now, I think every dental assistant, every team member should be given every chance to perform better and to raise his or her standards. But I also think it's okay to say, this isn't a fit and we need to go our separate ways.
And that's what we talked about earlier, is on day one, creating the expectations. Ooh. You know, our patients are number one in this practice. They are the most important thing. We do everything that is ethical. We don't do things that are not ethical. And if you set the stage, and there are practices, as you and I both know, don't quite operate that way. And, sure. You know, and hopefully that's not my listeners. My listeners are very ethical. We vet all of our listeners, by the way, Kevin. They have to fill out a questionnaire. Are you ethical? Are you not ethical? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, hey, talk to me. Where do you see dental assisting going in the next 5 to 10 years? You know, one time I asked Dr. David Hornbrook, I'm sure you know David.
Yeah, I do, for sure.
I love David. David is one of my favorite dentists in the world.
Yep.
I asked him at our ADC, Academy of Dental CPA meeting. I asked him, I think it was in 2003. I said, 10 years from now, David, what do you see the biggest change? He says, I think that we will be rid of impression material. We're not quite, but we're getting there.
Okay, that's close.
What do you see in dental assisting? What's on the horizon for dental assisting and dental assistants?
I believe dental assistants are going to get more and more power. I absolutely believe that. I think we're starting to see the test of that with the OPA in Arizona. And I think you're going to start to see more states come up with more ideas on how to not only help the staffing shortage go away, but also those areas in the state where maybe there's not as much dental care as there should be. So I think that you're going to see dental assistants have more and more opportunities to grow in their careers, to do more and more things legally in their state, which I think is a very good thing. But I think we also have to keep in mind that as the dental assistant grows in his or her skills, what rewards, what opportunities are there for them to actually take advantage of those opportunities and want to take advantage of them as well?
Exactly. Anything else you want to share with the audience? And I'm going to let you give out your information one more time.
Absolutely. The biggest thing that I will just say is make sure your dental assistants know that they are valued. Take a moment to say thank you. I will tell you, Art, a few years ago, I did a survey of 1,000 different dental assistants, and I asked them the meanest thing a dentist ever said to them and the nicest thing a dentist ever said to them. And the meanest could be a whole other podcast. But the nicest, far and away, was thank you.
Yeah.
And so I really want that to be the thing that I try to leave your audience with, is just to make sure that they understand that they're valued and that they're a big part of your success.
Okay, so the name of your podcast is?
Dental Assistant Nation. You can find it on YouTube if you want to watch the video aspect of it. Apple, Spotify, all major podcast platforms. Every Monday, a brand new podcast episode comes out.
All right. And then if they want to get a hold of you, if they say, hey, I want to help my dental assistants, you're my guy.
Absolutely. Hey, reach out to me through kevinspeaksdental.com. My email address is kevin@kevinspeaksdental.com. Would love to talk to you. Would love to see what we could do together, whether that's personality assessments, helping with your dental assistants, or just helping you have a better day with your team. I'm happy to help in any way I can.
And I would go on to Kevin's website, because Kevin is speaking all over the place because he's got a very hot topic, and there's not a lot of Kevins out there that talk about dental assisting. So if Kevin is in a neighborhood near you, I would go listen to him speak and you can see him. And if you're a baseball fan, it's even better. Kevin Henry, God, I love talking to you, man.
Hey, same, my friend. Art, I really enjoyed it. And thanks for having me on, man.
Just hang with me as I take the podcast out, all right?
Yes, sir.
And folks, I want to, again, thank you for the honor and privilege of your time. I love doing this. It's been 6.5 years, well over I think we're up to 225 episodes. I'm real excited. Our next episode's coming up, and I haven't decided if we're doing one on the new tax law yet or not before that. I've got two brothers from Northern California. One is a dental architect, and the other is a dental contractor. And we've never done these topics either, because I've asked some dental architects and, dental contractors, can you come on? And they're all very, very busy. So we're still building lots of dental offices. But we're going to have two brothers on two separate episodes talking about how do you design a dental office and how do you build a dental office. So I'm excited about that. We've got some other great guests. We're going to be talking about the new tax laws. We are here for you guys, ladies and gentlemen. We want to help you to be as successful as you can. I'm honored and privileged at all the thousands of people that listen to the podcast. If you are looking for a new dental CPA, give us a call, 657-279-3243, or email me at awiederman, that's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, at idbailey.com. Don't forget to give me a call about our August 6th webinar. That's August 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. Dr. Christina Doe and Holly Perez, one CE unit for you. It's going to be fantastic. And Decisions in Dentistry magazine, make sure you, if you're not a subscriber, you should subscribe. It's got the top clinicians in the world writing articles and 140 CE courses for a very reasonable price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. Kevin Henry, thanks a lot. You and I have a lot more baseball to talk about.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
And I guess basketball season will be here before we know it. And we have to see if my Lakers have any chance of doing anything. But that's another conversation for another day.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, man. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you again for listening. And that is it for this episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. At eidebailly.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.